This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, Howard. Good afternoon, folks. As Howard said, I'm not Carl Gilliard, who was on the hymn sheet. Carl is stuck in a snowdrift somewhere in Warwick. So I've come along today to talk to you and really to share some observations from our perspective, from the Association of Graduate Recruiters, looking a little bit at the employment market for postgraduate students. For those that are not familiar with the AGR, we're a membership body. Our members are mainly UK companies that recruit graduates and postgraduates in the UK jobs market. And we exist to help them understand what's happening in the market and also to understand what best practice looks like, so how they could more effectively recruit graduates onto their programmes. And I'm really going to share from two perspectives, partly from some of the research and the surveys that we do of our members, and to share some of their observations with you, but also from the many conversations that we have with employers, talking to them about the recruitment activities that they undertake, the challenges that they face, and why they focus on particular types of students and graduates. And I'll comment on that both from AGR's point of view and also from my previous experience as a recruiter before joining AGR. I used to run a graduate recruitment program for an IT company, and we did used to recruit master's students into our scheme. So hopefully I can blend together those different viewpoints and share some thoughts with you. Is it as negative as we think? There's certainly been an awful lot of media attention on the graduate market in general over the last couple of years. And if you were to believe everything that you read in the press, it's a pretty bleak picture for students leaving university, either at undergraduate or postgraduate level. But is the picture really as bad as the media makes it out? And I don't think that it is. We run a survey every 6 months of our employer members, and the survey, amongst other things, looks at the number of vacancies that they predict going forwards. Now, the most recent survey that we've done was published in July, and the graph that is slightly difficult to read there basically looks at the prediction of vacancies in the following year, from 2000 right through to 2010. So this is data going back about 10 years. And I guess the first thing to say is the picture fluctuates. The graduate market has fluctuated over the last 10 years. Although this is looking at employers recruiting graduates and postgraduates, it's a mixture, it's still a fairly good barometer of the state of the market. But the true picture is much more varied than that, both in terms of different industries which are going into or coming out of recession, perhaps at different times, and even the picture within those industries. And perhaps the largest change that graduate recruiters have been through over the last couple of years has been the way that their recruitment programs have become much more fluid. And whereas in the past targets might have been perhaps well understood at the beginning of a recruitment year, it's now very common for recruiters to face a situation where they're being asked to be much more flexible and much more adaptable about the candidates that they recruit. So the idea of trying to look ahead at vacancies over a period of time is not really that easy to do. So implications of the market, the difficult employment market. I think it's fair to say that new entrants to the market are at the most risk. Graduates and undergraduates, the unemployment figures amongst young people are quite high. The unemployment figures amongst graduates are increasing. So those that are newer to the market are facing the most challenges. The applications picture has been fascinating to watch over the last couple of years, and in particular the number of applications per vacancy, which is something that we measure amongst our graduate recruiters. For many years, that would have been at around 20, 25, 30 applications for each vacancy that an employer was looking to fill. Last year, that increased to around 50 applications per vacancy. This year, it's gone up to 70, and indeed, in some industries, it's well over 100 or even 200 applications per vacancy. Now, that presents some real challenges for recruiters. The sheer act of reading through all of those applications is no mean feat, but it obviously also presents some real challenges for the students and the job market, which is becoming much more competitive and much more important to think about how do you differentiate yourselves from an increasingly large number of peers in that market as the competition for the top jobs goes up. So we find recruiters going back towards looking at things like degree classification when they're recruiting, maybe looking at performance at A level, in fact, in some cases, actually insisting on a master's or other postgraduate qualification, even for what is nominally a graduate program, again, as a result of the increased competition and the increased number of applications. I think it's also fair to say that employer expectations are rising. It was interesting to see David's slides earlier on, looking at what makes an ideal graduate candidate. Employers are asking a lot more of the graduates that join the business. They need them to deliver value to the business much more quickly. So when they are going through the recruitment process, employers are going to be looking for the kind of skills and competencies that allow graduates and postgraduates to become effective in their business very quickly. We're also seeing in more and more cases graduates and postgraduates having to take stopgap positions. Perhaps they can't get onto a graduate scheme immediately after they leave university, and it's increasingly common that they have to take another position in the meantime, perhaps to pay the bills, perhaps to join a business not into a graduate position. And I think that might become more common as time goes on. And the way that students deal with that is very important, both in terms of how they use that stopgap position to add to their experience and the expertise that they can bring to a job, but also the way that they can potentially use that job or that stopgap job to move into another position within the organisation, and maybe understanding that they're going to need to take a different route to move forwards towards the career that they're actually looking to get to. And that might take a number of years to do and maybe be more difficult for postgraduate students who may have spent more time at university, perhaps have incurred greater debt with their longer period of study. How are they going to adjust to the need to perhaps take a bit longer to get to where they want to in the job market? So, the prospects going forwards. Our next survey actually closed about an hour ago and it launches in January next year. So we're going to have an up-to-date picture of graduate vacancies in 2011. We don't know what the answer will be yet. I think in terms of the anecdotal conversations that I'm having with recruiters, the picture is beginning to look a little bit more positive. And certainly across some of the sectors that we work with, I think recruiters are more positive about their task going forward into next year. The private sector, I think, will lead the way, but that's not to say that the public sector has stopped recruiting by any means. There are still opportunities for bright people in that sector who want to make a difference to society, and the public sector members of the association are very keen to push that message out, and again, perhaps to counteract some of the negative media around the lack of jobs in the public sector. The competition is going to remain tough. It will be interesting to see the application numbers in the survey next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they stay the same or indeed go still higher. So the number of candidates that are searching for each role is going to increase. And I think that's partly because graduates are applying for more than one position. In fact, many, many positions in a lot of cases. But also they're competing with graduates from last year who didn't get onto a graduate scheme and perhaps also the year before. So the pool of candidates that are looking for those jobs is getting larger and larger. And that's what's helping to push the competition up. We also did a shorter snapshot survey a couple of months ago in October where we asked 100 of our employer members what was their prediction going forward into 2011, and that presented a slightly more positive picture, with around a third of the employers that we spoke to predicting increased vacancies next year, half of them looking at about the same number of vacancies and only around 15% looking at a decrease in their graduate and postgraduate vacancies for 2011. So, looking a little bit more specifically at postgraduates and how they fare in the labour market, a couple of quotes here, one from The Independent from a piece of research that was carried out in March, which suggested that certainly in 2008, unemployment amongst postgraduates was less than unemployment amongst graduates. I don't know whether that would still be the picture now, but it certainly painted a slightly more positive picture for those that had conducted postgraduate study a couple of years ago. I think what's more interesting is the quote from Hexu, really talking about the fact that postgraduate qualification by itself, the piece of paper that you come away from university with, that's only got a limited amount of value. It's what you've actually learnt during that experience and the additional skills and competencies that that brings to you as an individual. That's what's really key, and I'm going to come back to this a little bit in a second. That's what recruiters are going to be looking for. So having the master's, having the PhD, that's certainly a significant thing to have achieved, but it's what else that you bring, the other skills that you bring along with that, that are going to be the most important. What do postgraduates do? Well, this is a piece of research that was carried out a couple of years ago in 2005, looking at the most common roles that master's and PhD students went into. And these are ranked by where most students went. So for master's, management professionals, education, business, health professionals, and in social and welfare professionals. And for PhD, well, into the education sector, into research, both general research and scientific research, and into management roles or higher level roles within the organisations that they were joining. But when we talk to our employers, what do they say? Why do they specifically recruit postgraduate students onto their programmes? Well, I think there are a number of reasons. The first is brain power. For many graduate recruiters, the most crucial thing that they're looking for is intellectual horsepower. And the attainment of a PhD, for example, is recognised by many to be a good indicator of that intellectual horsepower. So if you're an investment bank, for example, looking for really bright people to move forward the models that you are using to drive your business, you want people with brain power, and they will find themselves very often looking for that kind of student. We also hear recruiters talking about maturity, the extra year or couple of years that students have spent studying for the postgraduate, perhaps allied with work experience that they've gained between their undergraduate and their postgraduate degrees, can add to the amount of maturity that they bring. And perhaps that's also a reflection on one of the shortfalls that some recruiters are finding with undergraduate students. I was talking to a group of recruiters in the retail sector quite recently about the graduates that they recruit. And one of the challenges that they talked about a lot was that their graduates very rapidly find themselves managing other people, managing departments within a retail store, for example. And if you're managing someone who's worked in that department for 20 years, who's 30 years older than you, and you come in as a slightly immature graduate with a bit of an attitude, you're going to last 5 minutes, aren't you? So people that have got a little bit more maturity, that maybe have thought about the way that how their behaviour affects the people that they're working with, that's a valuable skill for many recruiters. And that additional maturity that a postgraduate can bring can help in that way. And finally, specialised knowledge and skills. Quite simply, it may be that the role actually requires a very niche, a very specialised piece of knowledge or experience, which may have come through the study for a PhD, for example. And so certain employers will look specifically for candidates who are going to bring those skills with them. So I think, in summary, a postgraduate qualification, it may be a differentiator, but it's not a guarantee of a graduate position, in the same way that a first-class honours degree may be a differentiator, but it's not a guarantee of a graduate position. It's the complete package, the bigger picture of what a candidate brings to an employer that employers are going to look at. Flipping that around, why might employers not want to employ postgraduate students? I guess the first point is something which I had a lot of experience in my previous role, recruiting master's students for an IT company, and that was around students who didn't seem to have direction, who'd carried out their master's because, well, I didn't know what else to do. I couldn't get a job, so I went back to university and kept studying. There was no real focus or motivation, and they weren't really able to articulate to me why they had the drive to go back and complete that additional qualification. And as a recruiter, that was quite a negative point for us, and it really made us ask more questions about that candidate's focus and their motivation in the longer term. Something around articulation, so articulation of skills and experience, and especially the additional skills and experience that the master's or the postgraduate study has brought. And again, this is an accusation that you could level at undergraduates as well. Perhaps the biggest challenge for many grads coming out of university and going through candidate selection processes, the way that you articulate your experience and the way that you articulate what you have learned at university. And that applies equally to postgraduate students as well. I think some employers do have a slight prejudice or bias against what they might call a professional student. So someone who has completed an undergraduate degree and a master's and a postgraduate PhD and so on. Well, is that person more suited to academia for life? Is that where their calling is going to be? And as an employer, how might that fit within the employment environment that they're going to find themselves working in if they join our organisation? So almost a prejudice against professional students. I was talking to a management consultancy firm recently that actually very actively recruits postgraduate PhD students and MBA students and likes to recruit those students, but they made a couple of interesting observations, one of which that for PhD students, it can often be difficult for them to work in a very ambiguous environment, and the business environment today is very ambiguous, but perhaps the level of detail and the preciseness that they are used to as part of their research, that's where they're very comfortable. And having to work in a situation where you're making recommendations or you're making decisions based on limited or incomplete data, for some PhD students that's quite a difficult thing to do and doesn't really fit comfortably with the way that they like to operate. From MBA students, another interesting observation was that sometimes MBA students come across as very overcoached. They've almost been through too many case studies and too many textbook examples of how something might work in business. And sometimes that can manifest itself as a lack of creativity. Not that that's necessarily true for that student, but just the way that they've been used to studying on the MBA might make them come across as slightly less creative. And again, creativity and the ability to be spontaneous and the ability to think about things in different ways are very important for business, as David alluded to. So there are perhaps some of the challenges that some recruiters are finding with recruiting students from a postgraduate background. So just to summarise then, is postgraduate study a good move? Well, I can't give a definitive answer whether the additional time and expense that you're going to incur by taking on postgraduate study will be repaid. For some careers, it is essential. For others, it's simply a nice to have. For some, it will differentiate you from the masses. I was speaking to some engineering recruiters recently who only recruit master's students. Now, they don't recruit from undergraduate degree because they're getting so many applications and they needed a way to focus in on the students who had the right kind of skill set. So they're specifically looking for master's students. For some people, it will lead to a very specialist role where the demand for a particular type of knowledge is key. And for some, it will also lead to better earnings. And when we ask in our survey recruiters whether they pay a premium for recruiting master's or postgrads or MBA students, for those that actually recruit or run specific schemes to recruit those kind of people, they do pay, in some cases, a small educational premium, around £3,500 for a master's, £6,500 for a PhD, and upwards of £12,000 for an MBA. So for some students going into certain roles, there will be a premium on the wages that they're going to earn in those positions. So hopefully that gives you just a brief flavour of some of the observations that we see talking to our employer members who recruit postgraduate students. And I guess I'm happy to take questions at the end as part of the panel. Thank you.
Thanks very much.